You might want to turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. No, 2 Peter. And in our exercise on Sunday, making sure we're understanding believe, and in the process, believe what? To believe God's word. So therefore, just to put that foundation under us again, chapter 1, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you dwell, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. You need the light. Unto the day dawn, and the day star rise in your heart. Until daylight comes, you need the light. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation or explanation. It isn't personal, and you go right to the next statement, so you see it. For the prophecy came not by personal anything, nothing to do with persons explaining or trying to explain. For the prophecy, the word of God, came not in old time by the will of man. People didn't try to think of it and explain it and give it as they conceived it, as they thought of it. It has nothing to do with that. On the contrary, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, carried along by the Spirit of God, like the sail in the middle of the ocean on a boat, ship. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that's God's word. That's how we got it. It's all God's word. Now, to say it a different way, God's going to say it over to 2 Timothy. And you are going to recall and be reminded in verse 16, all scripture, all the God's word, Old Testament, Genesis to Revelation, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed, the outbreathing of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, looking to God, God gives his word in a most wonderful way. So what were they to do? They were to believe God's word. Over to 1 Thessalonians. What do the Thessalonians do in northern Greece? And you will note, please, I said Thessalonians. And in Thessalonians, chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, picking up God writing to the Thessalonians to remind them, well, how did they get saved? Verse 5, remember. For our gospel, our good news, came not unto you in word only, but also in power, the dynamic dynamite, power, and in the Holy Ghost, he's the one delivering it, and in much assurance, so much so, as you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So they were saved in the light of God's wonderful dynamic, in God's wonderful person, and thus they had great deal of assurance. Why? Because it was God doing it. If it's us doing it, you can't have much assurance. But if it's God doing it, there's a lot of assurance. Therefore, chapter 2, picking up, please, in 13. I'll read verse 12, that you would walk worthy of the God who called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, because, what is that? Because why? When you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men. No scripture is a private interpretation. You didn't receive it that way. Receive the word of God in verse 13. Which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So there's a little word, believe, that we looked at on Sunday, A little word, the root for that verb, that believe, is to be persuaded. To be persuaded, and secondly, to be persuaded in a very effective, dynamic way. So therefore, here we are looking at God's wonderful work, and we ought to be believing God. And we, just to remind me, no one else, that if we go the airplane again, we're at the airplane, and we're going to fly to Timbuktu, and in the process, we believe. What do we believe? We believe it's an airplane, that it can fly. Do we understand the airplane? Not on your life. But we know it can fly. We believe the plane. And therefore, we're going to go, because we believe the plane, we're going to get on the plane and enjoy the trip, because we believe. Understanding the plane is a whole nother ball game. Understanding it is a whole different thing. Believing it's one thing, understanding it's another. And if we don't, and if we get on the plane, etc., then we are believing it. Using a different illustration, and say the same thing, I guess. And if you doubt and the wings or something, and you're going to get on the plane, you're going to have a trip that fearful and trembling, because you aren't sure the wings are going to fall off. So when we're way up there and a couple of 5 miles up in the air, we're going to go, and in the process, we're going to be very fearful, because we aren't sure the plane's going to make it. Now, but we're still going to get there, because we're at least fearful we're there. Using a different illustration that may help, you all probably sleep on a bed of some kind. Some people sleep on boards, but some on a bed of some kind, even a board. And some people, then you go to bed, and when you get in the bed, you believe the bed is the bed. And you get on the bed, and you stay there comfortably on the bed because you believe the bed. You believe the bed is a bed. That's very fine. And you enjoy a normal night's sleep. If, on the other hand, you were to get in the bed and you weren't sure the slats would hold it up or something during the night, you aren't sure whether you're going to enjoy the bed for the night or not, because you aren't sure. And therefore, you're sleeping, but you're not sleeping, as it were. On the other hand, if you don't believe the bed can hold you, you won't get on the bed. So what's the point? You believe God. You don't understand God. You're allowing God to be God, period. You allow your wife to be a wife, your husband to be your children, boys, girls. You allow them to be what they are. That's what you do. You believe it, period. That's what you do. What are we to do with God? What's our key word? Believe, 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 believe. So what are we going to do? God is God. That's what we're doing. We believe God is God. We believe God's word is God's word. God gave his word. He said, believe it. He didn't ask you to understand it all. He said, believe it. I believe I said something, like at Mount Sinai. I said it. Believe it. That's what you're going to do. Understanding is a whole different thing. So, often we're looking to understand something before we believe it. And you can't understand it until you do believe it. You can't do it. It won't happen. You can read 1 Peter 3, 2 Peter there, 1 Peter chapter 1. And you can read that and read that and read that. And 20 years later, you can write 3 books about it. When you're all done, you haven't believed. You won't enjoy it. You won't enjoy it. Won't enjoy it at all. You've got to believe. You've got to believe. That's what you've got to do. So what are we supposed to do? We've got to get our habits changed, our thinking changed, in the sense that make sure we're believed, letting God be God. That's what we're doing. That's what you're doing. You're letting the plane be the plane. You're letting the bed be the bed. You're letting God be God, period. Don't go any further. You're either going to believe that or not. So therefore, when anywhere, all the words of God are God saying something. So what are we going to do? We're going to believe God has something to say and he said it. He means what he says, says what he means. So we're resting down on God, period, and his book. And that's, now, if you're going to pick it apart, then you can do that. But you're like in the plane. You aren't sure the wings are going to fall off, or the bed that won't hold you up during the night. And you're trying to enjoy God without believing. You say, but I'm believing. No, you're not. You have to take it as it is. God didn't give you the choice to say you can believe Jeremiah, but you can reject Isaiah. God never gave you that choice, or me. No scripture is a personal anything. You either believe it or you don't. God said something, and he made it very clear. He said it. In fact, without turning in all those things in John, God said, listen, what Moses said to Israel, Moses didn't believe, and what Moses said to Israel, Genesis to Deuteronomy, God is going to judge him on that, what he said. Now, God, you said what you say, and you're going to judge us, John. John said, the words that I speak unto you, they're going to come back and haunt you because I gave them to you, and you didn't believe them. I'll hold you accountable. Now, getting that part a little bit driven home to our mind, therefore, if I understand it right, then the benefits of just understanding, believing, make sure I am believing God, letting God be God, and letting his word be his word. That's what I want to do. Now, the benefit, if I want to get the benefit of it. So therefore, over to Philippians. And Philippians in chapter 1. And God, having you know in the process, God had you in mind before he created anything, as that we know of. So God had you in mind. So when did God start looking and thinking about you? But when there's nothing, no angels, nothing. That's when God's thinking about you. So that's the starting point. He went to the cross because he was thinking about you to make possible all his wonderful plan for your life, your personal life. That's what he did. And he told you the one thing you need to do to tap in to make the relationship very positive and profitable is to believe. You've got to believe me that what I say, I'm the one saying it, said God. Therefore, you're going to believe that I'm saying it. You don't understand, but I'm saying it. I mean what I say. I say what I understand what I'm saying. So don't. It isn't up to you to understand it. I understand it. And when we're saved in that, and you can, we try to go as think of parents and different things, and doctors or whatever. And in the process, the doctor's going to do something surgically or otherwise for your body, and the doctor's going to do it. And he is there, you're there, and you're going to go and have the surgery or whatever. And in the process of doing that, he knows exactly what he's doing in great detail. Now, do you know what he's going to do? Do you know how he's going to cut you without losing all your blood with his little knife and all that stuff? You know? Does he know that? Do you know that? No. What are you going to do? You're going to believe the doctor. and let him operate. He know he's going to do something with your whatever, and that's what he's going to do, and you believe him. You don't sit there and have a debate with him. You don't do that. You're going to have to let the doctor be the doctor. Wow. That's what you're going to do. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, now let's put it to work. Philippians, God started you when you, God started before you were ever born. God took you to the cross and gave you physical birth. So here you are on planet Earth. And so forth. When God's writing, here's to the Philippians, verse 6, 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing. The word confident is the word persuasion, to believe. Persuade, I am persuaded. It isn't, the word believe is going to come out of that. Confident, I am fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Being fully persuaded, confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in me, in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what do you know when you believe? You're going to let him what? You understand what he's going to do, and you're going to let him do it, aren't you? Are you going to talk about it? God started something before you were ever born, and you came to know him as your Savior, and God's doing it. Going to do it. Here we are. We aren't finished products. We're just going along like a building. Like a building. And you have a building and the foundation in each thing you do. If you were a board in the building, and the board goes up, and your board goes up, and you look at the other boards and things around you, is the building finished? No, it's just a board. Here you are, you've progressed how far in your life as a believer right now? Say that to yourself. I've been a believer. Well, what do you want to say? And God's been working in my life. I got to let God work in my life. So I'm going to let God work in my life. And I'm on. I'm the board. You say, well, I don't see anything. What are you looking for? The board would be wrong looking to see the finished building, because it isn't finished yet. You isn't finished yet. And you're trying to see something. What is God going to do with my life? I never did anything exciting. I never went and conquered Mount Everest or something. God, I'm nobody. No, you aren't finished. And you're looking for something from God so that give you some incentive that God started something before you were ever born, and he's busy doing it if you came to know him as your Savior. Being confident, he started it. On the other hand, chapter 3, the same word, Philippians chapter 3, may I go directly in the light in chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We're set apart for God. And rejoice in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. We are not persuaded about anything about us. In me dwelleth no good thing. I'm not persuaded in anything about me. That's what Paul said. Now, Paul, you got a lot. Well, I don't have a boy. Did he have, though, a lot? At verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath wherein he might trust in the flesh. In other words, I've been to school. I've been to this. I know this. I'm able to do that. Having all of those credentials, Paul said, all right, let's have a little game to see who comes out the better on the scorecard. Then Paul begins the game, as you know. As a Jew, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, according to the law, of the tribe of Benjamin, a top tribe, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee? Paul said, I'm all those things. And besides that, I'm a legitimate Roman citizen. My family is rich. I left my family, but my family was rich. I had all kinds of things. And now, Paul, you're driving it home, yes, for us. Verse 7, that what things were gained to me, all those credentials, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. The only thing important is my relationship to God. I believe God started something in my life. He's going to finish it. Now, I'm just a little here along. Each of us is a different age and stage. But we're there. And say, what have we done some great? I don't know. We don't nothing to do with that. The work is in progress. The board in the building doesn't see much. The weather comes, it gets all wet. Doesn't see much yet, just the board. We're just there. But we're in the process of going. And Paul says, listen, we're going to hang on to that thought. Paul said, listen, hang on there, because God isn't finished. God started something. Believe it. Did God start something in your life or not? A. Or, as I say, he did. I perceived him as my Savior, and I've been struggling to find my way in the wilderness and all this. All that's fine. That's fine. Are you enjoying? Are you understanding? God has been busy, is doing in your grace, in his grace, doing what he's going to do in your life as much as you're going to cooperate. If you don't cooperate, then you get wood, hay, and stubble. You're carnal, fleshly, and it doesn't go anywhere. No, nothing else gets in the building. Nothing else gets in your life to keep developing so you can grow. And what are we going to know? Think of the sum, all those things. Well, when we're all done, God, what is it all about? I'm going to be like you. I'm going to be like your son. That's where you're headed, isn't it? Ephesians 4, 11, 12. Isn't that what it's about? What are we sitting here for? To be exercised for what? To develop. To minister. To be able to be built up. To get the structure. Wood, more nails. Bricks and everything else. We got to get it. But that's what we're doing. And we grow. And we grow. And say, well, what else did you do? Not much. But I know him. And I believe. And that's what it's about. When it's all done, when it's all, I want you to know me. All I'm going to do in your life is to teach you to honor your relationship to me by believing. And either you're going to do that or you're not. And otherwise, you're going to be a regular old Christian worldwise, and not going to have anything. So therefore, God, we've got to believe. And you want us to believe. And in the process of that, that's an awesome thing. Now, I'll read verse 9, but I can't. Chapter 3, verse 9. And he found, and be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, which I can't have, but that which is through faith, the body of truth that comes in Christ, believing in Christ, literally here. The righteousness, how are we going to believe in Christ? Because God's word said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Where's it? Christ wrote it. Christ said it, did it on the cross, provided righteousness, and then he put it in print. And that's why Abraham back then, trusting God way back there, believed God. And God counted it to him way back there with Abraham for righteousness. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, in God's wonderful grace and word and work, and so God starts and God works. And he outworks this wonderful will in our life and for our life. And he's God's going to do that in a most wonderful way. And in working it all out, God's going to go over, if I can, to see, so you can see it. Well, since we're staying on starting something, we've got to finish it. So therefore, go with me to 2 Timothy again. Remember, confidence to be persuaded. And here we are going to 2 Timothy. And you're going to remember, here's Paul. Nero's going to take his life, and he's going to die. And Paul lived his whole life. Got saved on the Damascus Road, Acts 9. So here's 2 Timothy, and you recall what we shared on Sunday in verse 12. And this is the root word to be persuaded, that believe and faith and all of those words come from. Verse 12. For which cause I also suffer these things, what he was going through, going to die, suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why not? For I know whom I have believed. Now, there's your word believe. Believed. I believed him. I believed God. I did. I believed. And am persuaded. There's the root word right next to it. Am persuaded. I'm persuaded and I believed. I have been persuaded. What are you persuaded about, Paul? What persuaded you? Well, God is God, and he means what he says. Says what he means. That God is able to keep that which I've committed, deposited, like in the bank, deposited, safe deposit box, deposited, unto him against that day. And we share together that God, Paul is trusting his life. God had a wonderful plan for Paul's life. It worked out, that plan. Worked it out. He's about to finish it with Nero. He's about all done. And Paul says, listen, I want you to know that I started with God, Acts 9. I'm gonna end with God. God, I believe God. I believe what God? God is God. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let God be God and his word be his word. And he understands what he does and how he does what he does. Nero's going to kill himself after this, get killed, but before that. Who knows how Nero's going to go? Now, so we come now to that society, my substance, all my books. What about my books? Well, I want you to bring me books, but I may not have time to read them because I'm going to die. So therefore, you got my books, my substance. I've got to give it to God. The whole dumb society, Roman society, with Pharaoh, with Nero at the top of the ladder. Nero is. So therefore, I'm going to trust God. You have to take care of Nero. You have to take care of the virus. You have to take care of everything. That's what you have to do, God. Take care of me, my general substance, and the world I live in. And that's the only way I'm going to make it. That's all. That's all there is to it. Okay, you got that part? Now, having said that, you start. God started. Absolutely. Over to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, picking up, please, as you would guess, verse 6, 4:6 of 2 Timothy. For I am now ready to be offered, going to be die, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, how are you going to end your life? I'm going to be die. Nero's going to slut, either take my head or something. Can't crucify me because I'm a Roman. So what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to die. And I'm going to finish. Well, what kind of finish is that? There's no Nobel Prize, no big rally, no big thing. No. God, what was it all about? For me to be like him. And therefore, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith, body of truth. Verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, That righteousness, 1 Philippians 3:9, that righteousness isn't mine, it's his. Aren't you trusting his righteousness? What makes you feel right about something? You know, I feel right. I'm right. I understand that. So do you. You have to get further along. Nothing's right. Whatever we think we know, think of 1 Corinthians 8. You know nothing. I know. Oh, stand back. Stand back. No, you don't. You think you know. The doctor thinks he knows he does surgery, and he's able to do the surgery well. But there's a whole lot of things in a given surgery that he may not know at all. All the system, metabolism, the flow, the up and down, all the mechanisms going on, thousands of them, all the time, like this. And we know they exist, but can we spot them? How do we spot them? How do we understand them? We don't. We just use them. So therefore, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, on that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So God, we're going to look for your appearing. That's right. What was it all about, Paul? I did everything. God out working in my life, fumbling around, God ministering, and that's what God, all of that's personal. God does what he does according to his wonderful word, Psalm 25, according to that which fits you and me personally. Our idiosyncrasies, our brain, the way we think, the way we feel, God, all of that governs stuff going on inside your head. How it comes out, God knows. And only God can do the things that can straighten out and get you thinking right. I'm going to think right. No, only God can help you. Because we get all wrapped up in it. This is right and that's wrong. Now, so God, henceforth, therefore, God, confidence. Why am I going to have confidence? Why do you have confidence? Right now, God started, God's going to finish. You're in the process. And you believe. Do you? You ought to be pretty excited. If it even looks like only a piece of wood, but I'd be pretty excited. The building's in process. The building is. Well, either believe or you don't. Oh, I'm thinking about it. Good. Good. That isn't believing, but good. You won't enjoy it. Don't just say, I'm going through so much. But God's doing a good work, isn't it? In you. Are you trusting it? Are you believing that? Oh, now if you knew what I had to go through. But certainly God does. And he wants you to believe. What are you believing? God started something. He's going to finish it. You'll believe. Comfortable. Now, that's wonderful. Let's do all kinds of things. Go with me, please, over to 2 Corinthians. And then 2 Corinthians, believing. What am I doing? I'm going to believe God. God, and God understands what he's going to do. And we learn and God's from God's word. How he's going to do things, and then we have to learn to read and believe and rest, and pretty soon we learn to understand better and better and better, more and more. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up please in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And the word comfort has to do with the word encouragement, trust. Something that you're trusting, looking, calling something near, bring something near, a comforter, comfort. The easiest way to remember that is think of God the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter. God, the Father, is the comforter. John 14. Jesus said, my Father's the comforter. He comforts you. And I comfort you, said the Lord. And by the way, I'm sending the Spirit of God, verse 60, I'm sending the Spirit of God to continue comforting you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is comforting. He's the comforter to come to your aid as an ally in your need, to come near, to help you. That's what he's doing. He's encouragement. That's what he's there. What I need to believe. God, I believe. God said, listen, I'm the God of all comfort. I'm the God who's going to encourage you. You're building, your structure's going up, and you're believing, and you're this far along in your life. You're going to be up here when you become like him, but in the process, you're going like this. That's what you're doing. Hopefully, you aren't just sitting there. Hopefully, you're getting there. So therefore, God, here's our comfort. And verse 4, just a little context. Who comforts us in all our tribulation? In all our tribulation, that purpose we may be able to comfort them, always a word over and over again, them which are in a trouble, and by the comfort where we ourselves are comforted of God. So God's encouragement is an awesome thing. Because you're hanging in there, you're looking. They're going to ask 1 Peter 3:15, a reason of the hope that's in you. What are they asking about? Hope what about? What hope? God's doing a wonderful thing in your life. They can't see anything, maybe, and you may not see anything. But God's doing it. Because you believe. You're believing. And believing said, all you do is believe me. I'm doing it. Make sure you're believing. Remember, believing's an active verb. You're resting down. You're locked on when you believe. And when you're locked on, someone says you need to believe this. And say, you can't. I believe God. But no, believe over here. No, I'm locked on. If you can get talked into this and talked into that and talked into this, then you're not resting. You're not believing. Believing means I'm done. I'm locked on. I'm locked on to whom? God. Is there any other God to lock on to? No. Is there any other Savior? No. Is there anyone that has me in mind, created me? No. Is there anyone that's going to make anything come out right? No. Only God can. He has a wonderful plan in his Son, Christ Jesus. I'm locked in, believing. You understand that? Otherwise, we're believing over here, believing over here, believing over here, believing this. You don't go anywhere. Nothing's going to happen. Not in this life. So, here we are looking. God, he's the God of all comfort. He's going to do wonderful thing in our life. And he's going to comfort us. And in the process, sliding down in all of that wonderful context, you can read, as you know, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant. He didn't want the Corinthians to be not know, understand what was happening in Asia. Ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, beyond our abilities, our capabilities, we're all gone. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. We had no way to survive. Now, Paul's going to go, we just read it a minute ago, in Timothy, he's ready to die. But right now, in his 54, right in there, as he journeys, he doesn't know what's happening. All he knows is that they try to kill me. They want to kill me. I don't know if I can get there. What did you do, Paul? I kept working. 2 Timothy 4, I'm done. I'm finished. Here I am, Lord. But, verse 9, but what was the solution? We had the answer, the sentence, the answer of death in our life. We counted ourselves dead indeed unto sin, that we should not trust, there's your little word, trust, believe, faith, trust, believe, there you are. We should not trust In ourselves, remember, don't have no confidence in the flesh, Philippians 3:3, no persuasion, not trusting yourself, no sir, but believing. When I'm believing God, I'm not believing myself. I'm resting it all on God. I'm letting God be who He is. Therefore, verse 9 again, but we had the answer, the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, believe, trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. And by the way, Paul said, listen, what did I discover? Well, He delivered us from so great a death. The wages of sin is death. He died on the cross and delivered me from that, among other things. In verse 10, but who delivered us from the wrath, great death, and doth deliver us. We thought we were going to die, but it wasn't time to die. It wasn't time to get sick and die. And so if it isn't time to get sick and die, guess what? You don't get sick and die. That's what I can tell you. If it's time to get sick and die, you die. Why? Because God has a wonderful plan for your life, whether you're 10 years old or 1,000 years old. That's what you do. And you trust in God. Don't get caught up in the system that will go on. I wish it would go away, but it can't. And I was going to go and retire the little island of somewhere, but I can't find that island. And I can't get a plane because the plane won't take me there. So I wish it would go away. It ain't going away. And neither is God. Neither is God's plan. Neither is what God is doing. So we trust Him. We're to believe. And therefore, and He doth, verse 10, in whom we trust, there we again spoke, trust, spoke, hope, the word hope, that He will yet deliver us. God's going to do that. Wow. So God's going to do a wonderful thing. Over chapter 4, it isn't going to be of us, no. And as you know, in chapter 4, God's going to add to it, so we see it. In chapter 4, if I can, picking up, please, in verse 7. But we have this treasure, God in us. God, we're believing, resting in God, our Savior in God. Treasure in earthen vessels, that's the one we're living in, bodies, these bodies, living in. About that, that the excellency, superabounding, superduper power, dynamite, may be of God and not of us. Remember you read in 2 Corinthians 1:8, we did not have the strength, the power. But God has the power. That's why we're delivered. That's why we're being delivered. That's why we're going to work. Why? Because God's doing it. Why? God didn't ask anyone for a plan to your life. Did He? Who did God talk to about your life? Who is God talking to about your life? A nobody. God has one plan, it's His plan. He doesn't have another plan. He doesn't care what the devil says or anyone else says, husband, mother, father, brother, wife, would that make any difference? The governor, would that make any difference? God's plan, it's His plan. That's what He's going to do. That's what you're trusting, His plan. You believe. You're believing. That's right. I'm believing. That's what God said. Believe. And you'll know. You have confidence. And you're going to be comforted. And thirdly, at least ever so quickly, over if I can to 2 Corinthians again. And in chapter 3. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, picking up, please, a third word with C. We have the confidence, and we have comfort, and then we have competency to be able to do it. Not just encouragement, but ability. Power, ability, thus. Philippians, 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 4, remember God has a wonderful plan for us to be a testimony to His wonderful grace. That's what it's all about. Verse 17. For Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now God's going to do all that. I know I'm reading and you're not looking in the process of that. And what you need to do is, you should have told me, we should have been looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Appreciate your help. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll pick it up again, if I can. God's wonderful testimony, same thing, God's doing. Verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, in them that are lost. In other words, you're out up and down the street, work, home, school, come and going, whatever you do, you're a testimony. You're bringing God to the grocery store. You bring God to the bathroom. You bring God everywhere. Wherever you go, you bring God. That's what you're doing. Wow. And, verse 16, to the one we are the savior of death unto death. They hate us. People don't want to hear it. They don't want to know because they're dead in sins. And the other, savor, a favor, fragrance of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? The word sufficient is the word enough. To reach a desirable end, literally. To reach a desirable end. To be enough. To come out right. To be able to do it right. Uh-huh. So therefore, we have it. In verse 16 again, the end, and who is sufficient, who is able, who can do this? Sliding chapter 3, as you would pick up, if I can, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient, there's your little word, not that we are sufficient of ourselves, no, to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency, our ability, our enough, is God, in whom we're believing. We're confident. Why? Because I'm believing. I'm comforted because I'm believing. I'm encouraged. And I'm competent. But it isn't my ability, it's God. God has a wonderful plan, building the structure, building my life, changing my life, fixing my life. Whom God loves, he chastens. And if God isn't chastening, then you don't get anywhere. No, you got to get. The building has to go up just right the way God wants it, and you want it that way. Therefore, if you try to you try to move the board, you're a board, and say, listen, I think I'll move around, and the carpenter comes back and puts the board in the right place and puts four more nails in it so it can't move. God has to help us because we get there. Now, so therefore, who is sufficient? God. Verse 6, who also hath made us able, the word able, made us able is the word, verb, sufficiency. Ministers, servants of the New Testament, not of the letter, not of the law, but of the Spirit. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We enjoy a wonderful relationship to God because it's of grace. It isn't our righteousness, it's His. And we're trusting God all the way to take us all the way that He wants us to go without any question. And we are sufficient for such things without any question. Now, having said that and keeping that, so over, if it can, to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. And in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, picking up a little word that we left, and God says it. Remember how Paul ended? Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, etc., etc. And because I love his appearing. What was your incentive? I wanted the builder to keep building. I wanted God to keep working. I believe. God, keep working. I don't want to get out here the way you don't work. I want to be resting. Resting on you so it works. I want to keep going. Keep going, God. Keep going to me. Now, so therefore, God, he's looking for this coming. Blessed are they that look for it. Now, Thessalonians, remember what we read in the beginning. They were saved in a most wonderful way with power, love, and power, and the Spirit of God, and much assurance. So now, when you come to chapter 4, you'd recall God's looking for his imminent, soon coming. It's just, and I'll read that very quickly, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, hinder them which are asleep that have already died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, we're waiting, standing on earth, with they which remain, shall be caught up with force to take up with like a tornado, take you up fast. Caught up together with them, Peter, James, and John, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So then Thessalonians, remember 2 Thessalonians, they're going through a terrible tribulation, but that's still going here. It's just going to show up in, when he writes about it in 2 Thessalonians. Verse 18, wherefore, there's your little word, comfort, be encouragement. Be encouragement to come to your aid, the Spirit of God does. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Why? Because we believe that God said what he means. It means what he says. I believe. As I believe, I begin to understand. And I'm looking for his coming. I'm believing what he said. And pretty soon my little old heart, I'm looking for his coming. I'm looking for it. And God, what'd you do? God, you conquered me so that I could be a conqueror. You gave me all your wonderful possessions, all your wonderful promises, all your power, so that I could possess it. You did that. God, I believe. I'm resting. That's what God wants.